Well, hello, neighbor. This is Evangelist Jimmy Swaggart, and this is the Camp Meeting Hour. Oh, I'm so happy to be with you today. You know, I believe that it's got to be Monday, and we have a tremendous week ahead in regard to the teaching that we'll be closing out in the next few days. It may go another 2 weeks on the two kinds of faith, and we're getting down now to what I think is the conclusion and probably the most important, the most significant part of the series. And we want to talk to you about the sense-ruled mind, or sense-knowledge faith. I've touched on it a little bit. I want to touch on it some more. The Scripture mentions and talks about the renewing of our mind. Do you realize the Christian must have his mind renewed? Now, I'll be getting to that, but I want to sing you a song first. It says you don't need to understand. You just need to hold his hand. And, brother, that's exactly it. I think you'll like it. Listen to it and let it bless you. You don't need to understand.
Life is like a mighty sea, so tossed and driven. Storms so many times will leave the heart with questions. You don't need to understand, just hold his hand. I don't need to understand, I just
understand, you just need to hold his precious hand. And really, that's it, because, you know, he knows the way to go, and he knows where he's going. If we'll follow him, and he'll lead us through the wilderness, yes, he will. The sense-ruled mind has probably been the greatest enemy to the child of God of anything. Now, what in the world do you mean, preacher, by the sense ruled mind? Well, I'm talking about that what, you know, you understand and you think according to that which you can see, what you can hear, what you can taste, what you can touch, what you can feel, the five senses. And few of us have realized that the sense-ruled mind can never have victorious revelation faith. It's not possible. Now, sadly enough to say, most of us have the problem with it. The problems we have are with the sense-ruled mind. Now, it's only when the mind has been renewed through practicing the Word does faith in the Word become powerful. And the Word of God should be the criteria, it should be the life, it should be the energy of our experience with God. We should be dictated to by the Word. Our lives should be ruled by the Word. Our thoughts and our actions, our doctrine, our belief should be ruled totally and absolutely by the Word. But it's so sad that so few Christians today live like this. They don't know what you're talking about. And we relate to experiences, and experiences can be good, and yet they can be bad. We relate to circumstances. We relate to what's happening around us or what somebody else believes. And if it happens to somebody else, well, you know, it's got to be of God or what have you, when that's really got nothing to do with it. What does the Word say about it? What does the Word say about it? The renewing of the mind comes by acting on the Word. In every crisis, day by day, letting the Word have its place in our lives. It has to be this way. I've said it, and I know that some of you will misunderstand it. That's not exercising a lot of faith there, but it's just a fact. You'll misunderstand what I'm about to say, but I'm going to say it anyway. I think I'm just beginning, and I want to emphasize that word beginning, I think I'm just beginning to learn about this great sense. That's the wrong terminology there. This great thrill and privilege, that's better, of acting on the Word regardless of circumstances. I have so far to go in it myself that I really wouldn't want to even begin to try to look out there and see how far I do have to go. I know I've got a long ways to go. But the thing is so mighty, it's so rewarding, it's so powerful that if you can just begin to touch the surface of it, it'll change your life, revolutionize your Christian experience. To rely upon the Word. What does the Word say? I don't care what other people's circumstances may be. Somebody said, well, you know, Mr. So-and-so over here is one of the godliest people I ever saw, and he's not healed, so it must be God's will for him to be sick. And I read an article just today some blessed preacher wrote, and bless his heart, he wrote how blessed it is to be sick. But yet when he gets sick, he does everything in the world he can to get well. He'll go to every doctor in the country and take every kind of medicine. I don't blame him. He won't ought to be well. He can't do the Lord much service being sick. and so they look at circumstances. They say, well, if that one, you know, is this way, well, it's got to be that way. If this poor fellow over here is poor and he doesn't have shoes to put on his feet and a coat on his back, well, then evidently he's a godly Christian. So evidently that's what God wants us to be like. Well, that is stupidity, if I may be blunt. Don't base what you believe on what you see in others. What you see may be right, and then again, it may be wrong. It's good to imitate other people if that person is walking exactly according to the Scripture. Paul said he desired for people to imitate him, and of course, it would have been wonderful had they done so, and some did. Because Paul, he was not in error. He lived exactly according to the Holy Word of God. His life was a life of total and absolute victory. Now, that is not meaning to say he didn't have problems. He did. You will. Every Christian does. When we preach this great life of faith, sometimes some poor people, whether maliciously or whether ignorantly, I don't know, but they try to say, well, these people try to teach you'll never have another problem. That's a lot of baloney. Well, I don't teach that kind of stuff. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but neither do I stop at that. For the balance of that scripture says, but the Lord delivereth them out of them all. And you can never see faith. You see, the cold, dead, theological surveys of today says that Jesus Christ is dead. Oh, I'm not talking about that litany that was sung some 30 years ago. Oh, let me change that. Some 5 years ago, 10 years, whenever it was, saying God is dead. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about even churches that brag and boast to the highest heaven how much they believe in the Lord Jesus, how much they love him. But yet they say he can't do this today or else he don't. That he won't do this today, he doesn't. And finally, have you noticed that they get to the place there is absolutely nothing left for the person today. And that's exactly what the devil wants. That's exactly what Satan desires. By and large, the modern church of today is against about 75%, and I'm being conservative, I could probably go higher and be totally honest and factual, against about 75% of what the Lord Jesus Christ wants his church to be like today. What's wrong with the church whenever it's people that are supposed to be saved by the blood of the Lamb, supposed to be washed in Calvary's cleansing flow, are considered to be church members, are considered to be temples in the church? If you would ask them, are they a Christian, they'd look at you like you're out of your mind. Sure, they're a Christian. Or they say, why, certainly I'm saved. But yet they curse almost every breath. They can tell their dirty jokes with the biggest of them. They can hoist their high balls, lift their stein of lager beer. And they would steal. And I'm not throwing everyone in this category, but it's too often the truth. I was telling you back, I guess it's been 3-4 weeks ago now, how that a girl, I talked to her in a restaurant in Indianapolis, asked her about, she was a little waitress, asked her about her soul. What she said, she just bluntly told me, no, sir, I'm not saved, don't want anything to do with it. I asked if she went to church. No, sir, I'm not going to church because you're all a bunch of hypocrites. And I immediately I grew a little bit angry, didn't let her see it or know it, but I thought that's so ridiculous, you know, and so many hypocrites. But then I started to think about what that girl, you know, most of the churches today, she is right. I hate to say it, but it's the truth. Most of them, they don't know what you're talking about if you talk about the power of God. They live like hell itself, if you'll pardon that blunt statement. They don't know what God is. If somebody raises his hands, and I read of a Baptist preacher the other day. Bless his heart, he told me, he said, Brother Swagger, he said, here I am, a preacher of the gospel. And he said, I'm called to preach, I know I am. And I love Jesus Christ. But I had never in my life raised my hands and said, I love you, Jesus. He said, I thought that was the most ignorant, ridiculous, stupid thing you have ever heard of in all your life. He said, I guess I had read it that what Paul told Timothy, I would that everyone everywhere when praying lift up holy hands without wrath or doubting. But he said, the first time I lifted my hands, I felt so odd, but he said, all of a sudden something happened in my soul. I'm not saying this ought to be like a ritual, but something is wrong with people that are supposed to be in the church, in the body of Christ. And they're total strangers to everything that God does. I'm telling you, this is good preaching. If I have to say so myself, I want to say this before I get over here. And tomorrow I'm going to pick up right where I left off today. And we're offering this week 3 albums that, well, I think it's some of the finest that we've ever offered. Down the Sawdust Trail is I think it's one of the greatest things the Lord ever helped us do. And then you don't need to understand. You just need to hold his hand. A tremendous, tremendous album. Plus, the Macduff Brothers. And all 3 of these albums for a gift of just $10 or more. Ask for gift offer number 340. Gift offer number 340. And I promise you, you will not be disappointed. They will bless you. And if you make out a check, make it out to the camp meeting hour. And please put the call letters over which you hear this program. Will you do that? It'll help us here in the office. We'll get these right on to you, posted, paid right to your door, and I know that you'll enjoy them. Our mailing address is Jimmy Swagger, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70821. Go with God and He will go with you. KURL in Billings, Montana, and officially 30 degrees, and our forecast is for a high today 35 to 40, 20 to 25 degrees, the low for tonight, and a high tomorrow 40 to 45. Possibility of snow also, 40% today, 20% tonight, and 40% for tomorrow. The time is 29 minutes after 6 o'clock. Coming up is the 20th Century Reformation Hour, followed by the news at 7 o'clock. Then there's That's the World of National News. Then
Montana News after that at 7:05. And a look at the farm market report with Doug Warren from MSU at 7:10. All here on KURL in Billings, Montana. Once again, our unofficial valley temperature is 30 degrees.